You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, I've got me horrible.
Oh, hang on, Rachel. I better fix up my speakers.
Let me try and fix. Can you hear me?
Okay, I think I have sound, Rachel.
You think you have sound? Can you?
I can hear you.
What do I sound like?
You sound like the lady from Liverpool.
Tinny though.
Not tinny, no. It sounds fine.
I don't know. I've got these headphones, but they're not as good as the ones I had.
So I've got an agenda, Rachel.
Oh yeah.
I have been looking for counter examples to my idea that if I pray, everything's fine. Because my life has just been sensational lately as I've been praying.
So I'm
looking for evidence that...
Not praying is...
I'm looking for evidence that people that pray still don't get any benefit. For example, SMJ, and I had a conversation where he talked about how he was having cluster headaches all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I remember. I think I saw that in the chat.
Yeah, well, in the end, I think the three things necessary are prayer, sunshine, and salt. And he said how he was getting plenty of sunshine and salt, but still his headaches were going, but carrying on, I should. And I said, well, maybe you should try prayer. And he wouldn't answer any questions from me for a couple of weeks, but he's told me that his headaches have gone away after he prayed.
Oh, that's excellent.
But it was quite funny that he was reluctant to acknowledge that. And how are you, Denny?
I'm wonderful, mate. I'm glad SMJ's headaches are gone, so that's good. Yeah, well, you know, let's say usually the remedy is the last thing you try. And then you do try and put other things down to it. Good on you for recommending it. If it's worked for you, then why not?
Well, I'm just curious if people are finding different things to me. That's all.
I think I've got a bad voice signal.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Okay. It's gone orange now. It was red then, and it's on orange now. But maybe I'm okay. No, it's gone back to red. But you can hear me okay.
We can hear you fine, darling.
I've heard you more clearly before, but it's fine, Rachel.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you prefer to call you Rachel?
Ooh.
Sorry, what was that?
I said, would you prefer us to call you Rachel?
Rachel? Oh, well, it's one of those I sometimes get called.
Oh, like Raquel from Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, Raquel. Rachel.
Raquel.
Rackers.
Just forget, I'm physic or something. So how are you, Rachel?
Not too bad.
Seeing you then. You've got a bit of a reverb coming back there. Are you still touring with Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, I've got a bad signal. It's saying I'm sorry, it's not good for the audio.
Don't worry, we can hear you. Just don't keep looking at the light.
Yeah, stop looking at that light.
Yeah, I'm just going to grab some cardio. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Right, okay.
So I was looking at that Brian Cox thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just making me laugh. That's what's prompted me to get on my high horse, on my soapbox.
Yeah, go on. I listen to the thing that he just does my head in. Even before... when I was a normal person and had normal
when thoughts, I was normal, so much more normal than today.
I always, it was like, they've obviously got him in so people would just take one look at him and go, space is shit, and turn off the telly. I mean, I thought that was the plan of him, because you could listen to him for 5 minutes, it's like, yeah, where's the razor blades, please?
He's a bit excruciating, isn't he? He's a really Oxford pompous, awful guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's funny the way he's got Carl Sagan's haircut.
You know, he has.
He carried on with it. The same haircut, just put on a different fella.
But he is completely of that ilk of BBC presenters, isn't he? The sort of private school, everything just awful, conforming, twat kind of guy. It's just. You know, these little parts of my Birkenhead background really show up here, Rachel. I acknowledge that I have some isms, and when I see these pompous twats do their pompous twat thing, it really presses a few of my bells.
Yeah, he just doesn't have that effect on me.
Well, just to let you know, what he was doing on that video I posted was he was ruining Halloween on Halloween for kids.
Yeah, that figures.
Yeah.
I said, there's no ghost.
There's kids getting ready, putting makeup on, just as, I don't know, Jack Sparrow. You know, the entire version of what they're going out as relies on the supernatural. And he's there first thing before they go to school saying, there's no such thing as ghosts. And then tell him to look at his face.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful.
There's no
end. Isn't it amazing?
It's funny. It's like how the hell can he be taken seriously when he says space is dead big? Dead big. That's like something I'd say, you know. And I wouldn't say that anymore. Oh yeah, Frank. By the way, when you were putting up them solar, the information about the solar cycles and stuff.
Yeah.
It just looked like zodiacal crystal, let me read you star sign stuff now. Like you say, it's all changed. I mean, there's more evidence of the zodiac working than there is of, you know, the flashes affecting the ground we're on. Which brings me to my next question. I put a comment after a flat earth, someone debunking a flat earth or Eric DeBay video. And they were debunking the shape of the earth by talking about, you know, different anomalies in the sky, the celestial pole stars, every type of thing going. So I just put a little question underneath. Does the sky affect the shape of the ground? And I thought I'd get, you know,
I saw that.
And I never realised this. They can be quite aggressive, YouTube, can't they? They were quite nice, the replies. But, there was no one admitting that, you know, no, it does, no, it can't, you know. So literally, their evidence of the ball is based on
celestial observations. That's all we have.
So yeah, but I've left it 2 years since I've been on there, mate, just to see if there was any other stuff. And I listened to the debunkers now to see if there's anything else.
Look, I think the flat Earth thing is just getting bigger. It's not going away, is it?
Yeah, I'm trying to see how people are going to assimilate it actually, because there's a level of thinking. Where people seem to branch off at, they seem to go, oh, well, it's all being hidden from us, instead of, you know, going down the avenue of, like, it's pretty hard to prove it's a ball. And when you're looking for the evidence of it's a ball, it's, you know, it's all hearsay and assumptions. And you know, but they're not looking into that, and it doesn't take long to look into that. So, obviously, it seems like we're still heading down this new age thinking of paranoia and, You know, either you're stupid or you're not stupid. You know, it's either a ball or you're flat. I don't know. I'm not talking about common ground or anything like that. I don't really want to find common ground. This is what I was saying to Bellaset. Everybody has their own opinion, but it's hard to base an opinion when you watch videos of people on YouTube and stuff, and they're not really talking about the, you know, where the evidence come from in the first place.
No, and that's where SMJ is really providing fantastic input, isn't he? Where he is going right back to the guys that start the whole thing.
Yeah. takes us back there. Shows us the relationship with the land. Gives you a brief snapshot of history, what was going on at the time. Even to the point of, you know, when you do look into this stuff that SMJ posts, you see the amount of money that's involved for these experiments, and they could only have been carried out by the elite.
Yeah.
You know, these wasn't like, you know, learned, you know, what do you call them, stable boys who decided to look up and measure the stars. These were people who were literally tasked. Yeah, tasked. That was their mission.
Agenda driven. Yeah, absolutely. Everything is agenda driven. Just like my wanting to speak here this morning. I'm agenda driven.
Good. Well, seeing as we are, I've not been on for a while. Can I mention Tom's done a video about foreshadowing HRDPIRs that have gone live. So he's mentioned the...
What's that?
Well, you had the truck incident in Paris. HRDPAR. Hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real.
Yeah.
I like that one. HRDPAR. Anything that starts with a H makes you sound posh, Rachel. Remember that. No. Yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah. Oh, God. You know, you can always get a giggle out of Frank. He's brilliant. Yes, and so he's foreshadowing, and he's actually showing the pink bunny on the ground, which is one of Ariana Grande's emblems, you know, brands, so to speak, and a few different bits around it. So, yeah, I'm glad Tom's back making vids, because I do like his voice. Yeah, so there you go. But having said that, I was just reading about, some posts that SMJ's put there about the human cell biology, the naming of the cell, where it came from. Very intriguing.
So one of the, just while we're onto it, just a thing that popped into my head, there is a thing in cell biology where they call it the Golgi appendix. My newest enemy, Ray West, has pointed out doesn't exist, this Golgi apparatus. So biology is fraudulence upon fraudulence.
So why did you say that about Ray West?
Ray West has a particular view about the Jews running the world.
Yeah.
And he also thinks, you know, so his basic tenet is that a lot of science is fake, but the ball is definitely, you know, true. You know, anyone that thinks that the world is in a sphere is a complete fruit loop.
Well, I've only listened to a couple of his, videos or what, I don't know. He's on YouTube, but I don't know if
he is.
But, I mean, when I say I've only listened to you, basically it's you, because you've been, I don't know if I've listened to you on him.
Well, it does seem that Ray might be controlled opposition now. Is that where you're going from?
Well, so here's the thing that happened with me. Is I said when Ray asked me to do the salt talk, I said, look, Ray, I'm happy to do the salt talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I have been going hammer at tongs about the shape of the earth, and I just think you're abusive and not providing any information. I'll go on your salt talk if you'll agree to come on my show and talk and debate the flat earth with me.
Oh, yeah.
So he agreed to that, and then after we recorded, he reneged.
Oh, so you got your salt talk. That was a good one. I thought that was it was worth it because
And then he kept talking about the, you know, how the it's the Jews that are running all the medical stuff and causing the fraud. I said, yeah, look, I agree that there's you know, a lot of Jews end up in these jobs. But let's be honest, Ray, it's Jesuits like you that are causing all the problems. You know, all the stuff is run by Jesuits, all the schools are run by Jesuits, all the things that you complain about are all run by Jesuits, not by Jews.
He's a big fan of David Irvin, isn't he? He's a combat.
Yeah, I don't know why there's friction between you, Frank, I'll be honest.
This ball thing has just got him tangled up in, it just completely stops him, as far as I can tell. It's the ball thing, he's also a fan of evolution. And I keep pointing out to him, Ray, you're completely illogical. You have the view that nuclear weapons don't exist. But if you think about what you're saying, nuclear weapons don't exist because Albert Einstein's a fraud. If Albert Einstein's a fraud, that means that all of the experiments in modern physics, like the Marcus and Morley experiment, the Marcus and Gale experiment, the Sagnac effect, etc., all demonstrate that the Earth is not moving. And everyone knows that, you know, there's no explanation of where the ball came from. So, you know, all of the stuff you're talking about, your whole way of thinking is illogical. So that's where the friction starts from.
Frank, how much are you willing to let go if he's blaming the Jews, right? Which he seems to be. Oh, that's his.
I'm happy to talk to him. You don't get it. Right. I'm happy to talk to the guy anytime.
Yeah, but what I mean
his
is
his problem is that he is totally abusive towards me, and he's pulled down my article and copied it and put his own article up. You know, so when I say he's my new enemy, simply because he has just decided to just be totally nasty towards me.
Well, you see, I like you, and I like it when you rub people up the wrong way. So that's always that always, you know, puts you in good in my books. it's true. If he's blaming everything on the Jews and he's saying Mr. One Stone is a fraud, and then he's saying nuclear weapons aren't real.
Right. No, he's saying, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so if right, so them three things in itself should give you just enough inclination to look back and see where the shape comes from and the people who, you know, propose the shape and stuff like that.
Of course.
So if he's not, it seems like this is what the Flat Earth has done. Because there's people out there who, I believe there's some people out there who literally have left the internet because they think that. A lot of these people who believe the Earth's flat are faking it, non-believers. How can it be flat? But if you're willing to let go of everything that you thought you knew, then it's the first thing that you never understood anyway. How the hell can it be a ball? Now, if you never had that thought as a child, how the hell can it be a ball? Then I can understand how you can't go back on your thinking. But I always thought that. I was just like, you get to the age of 7, 8, and you accept it. But there's some people accepted it for being told it was a ball, and they just totally agreed with it. And I think
there may be an innocent explanation for it, Denny. But in full response to Rachel's question is, I essentially think that Ray is, you know, an agent. He's pushing the Jewish thing to the hilt. You know, it doesn't take much brains to work out. Well, you just have to examine every single thing, and you know that the Catholic Church is running everything.
Yep, they've got they've built all the churches around the world for the past 500 years. It's their books, isn't it?
You know, it's the Jesuits that set up the Muslim religion.
Yep. Oh yeah, they're all the same as each other.
Very into David Irvine. I mean, that's the only thing is he could be snookered on that. I think I watched an old interview of David Irvine on BBC Two. What's the BBC Two news programme? Newsnight. And it was a joke. It was an overacting joke. It's like, this isn't real. He was being apparently grilled to death by Jeremy Paxman. I haven't been watching TV for about 2 years. I watch this stuff and I go, whoa, the overacting on that stuff is unbelievable. But he is very much into David Irvine pushing.
Well, I've got no problem with the David Irvine stuff either. I mean, I don't think anyone does, do they?
I don't know.
David Irvine. Is it Irving? Irving.
Irving, I'm not sure.
And by the way, Ray West, if you're listening... My offer always remains open to talk about, to allow you to fulfill your commitment to me to have a debate with me on the shape of the Earth. You know, don't be such a girl, right?
Just let me say this, though. I see history now, especially history on celluloid, as being one big story woven for us. It's very hard to say that any little characters in this story, whether it's the Jews prior to World War One oh, the scientific Jews after World War One, and all that, you know, they're all just still characters in this celluloid story that's, you know, we've landed men on the moon and we've, you know, done all these different things. It's, that's, if you're looking at it, like, from where I am, it's very easy just to say yes. But maybe, you see, personally, it's a lot easier to call someone a shield, control the position. And I do prefer it, especially the people that you don't like, because, like I say, Frank, I like you. And if he's not prepared to talk to you about the shape of the earth, which is not hard to work out, and I keep saying this, and people must think like I'm a person who has done lots and lots of research. I'm not, I'm not literally, you know, I've done little bits over, you know, an hour here, 10 minutes there, talk to people like Frank and Sean, and you know, lots of different observations. And I'm at this point in my understanding of where we are. But the shape of the earth is just as important as World War One, World War Two, JFK assassination. All these things were hidden from us over the past, you know, 150 years, or hidden via science, and some aspects of it were pushed. But I still laugh at Neil Armstrong and, you know, that little picture I put up of Atlas holding the earth, and just how apt that is. It does seem like a movie to me now, Frank. Not even a good one, you know.
Well, that's essentially the barrow that I've come, you know, when I said I had an agenda, watching that thing you posted, you know, the cop video.
Sorry about that.
It just made me, it just crystallized for me just how much my thinking has changed as a result of, I guess, you know, the ideas about thinking about flat earth and so on, and the atmosphere, and how there cannot be a vacuum of space and so on, and thinking how simple it all is. I just realized that it's the Bible and praying that has made my life just a completely great experience in recent years. Just totally enjoyable in every possible way.
Well, there's a lot of people that do it, and they must get answers from it, because they're undoing it throughout the line.
Well, I have to say that I haven't got any answers at all. You know, I haven't got any answers. All I can say is that when I see a bird now, I marvel.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a, you got more time to stop and see things.
Yeah, and the what is it called? The million little arrows, slings and arrows that the flesh is heir to, they just seem to stop. You just don't get banged on by people anymore. You just don't get, you know, your car keys running away or getting missing or that, you know, those little important things. My children have stopped being irritated with me. That's probably the biggest blessing.
You see. Well, maybe that they were praying as well.
Maybe. But, you know, they're... I certainly pray for them, and my relationship with them, you know, they now are just quite happy to accept that their father is a kook.
I know what you mean. I mean, at times I sound like I get really wound up, and when I think about certain things, I do, but I just come to the, you know, let it go. Let it go.
You know, again, it's all written in the Bible, isn't it? Lord, give me the strength to change the things I can and accept the things I can't, and to know the difference between the two.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. You could be kidding me there. I've not read the Bible, so I'll take your word for it. But no, look.
Well, that's another good point, isn't it? That we're, so much of the people's views about the Bible are when people say, often quite falsely, oh, it's in the Bible that.
Yeah.
So now every time someone quotes the Bible, I go and check it now, and quite often it just isn't there.
Does it say he walks on water, or does it say he walks on the lake?
Good question. I can check that with the miracle of...
You're going to look up on the internet.
No, it all depends on if you picked up Nelson Mandela's Bible.
I think it's walking on water.
Well, my favourite explanation of the physical effect of that was Barbara Thiering's book, Jesus the Man, where she talks at the temple that was at Qumran, which had little stones just below the surface of the water. And it was the path followed by the priest.
That makes sense. There's a bit of mystery as well.
Peter walks on water. Well, the bit where water Jesus walked on water is when he's in a fishing boat, isn't it? And the boat was in a storm. And they thought Jesus was lost, and he walked across the water to them.
No idea, honestly, Frank. I'm not sure. I just heard two people talking about it the other day, and one of them said, I don't think he says water. He says...
Well, again, like, there's different translations, so it's difficult to actually be...
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You know, of the Bible, because if you go... There's lots of different translations. So just because one translation doesn't mean another translation does. But you know what I mean? It's like the... I think that's what it comes down to when people go on about the Mandela effect. It's just different translations of the Bible.
Well, I'm glad Sean's headaches are gone. That's good. Praying. Well.
No, as I said to him, none of this is proof that prayer works, but it certainly hasn't disproved that prayer works, has it?
No. Nope. So God's a placebo. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just suggesting to you, if you're faced with a problem and someone provides a model, a suggestion to you about how things might be fixed, and you've got no other option, and you try that option and the problem goes away, then a practical person says, oh, okay, I'll keep trying that model until it fails.
Yeah.
However, some people are too prideful to be able to do that. You know, no matter how ridiculous their situation becomes, they will not pray at all, or you know, literally they will not pray to save their own lives. It's just a pride thing.
I suppose, but there's been a lot of intense I don't want to call it brainwashing, but you know, to actually go, you know, to use that method. It's just it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but the particularly the Catholic Church, when they talk about praying, they talk about praying to the Mother Mary, to the Virgin Mary, to St. Peter, to St. Paul, to, you know, basically to everybody, whereas the Bible very explicitly says pray to God, pray to the Creator.
Yeah.
What's the minimum you can pray for? I'm joking. Are you meant to be thankful? Because I don't go to bed thinking, oh, thank God, you know, thankful. And I mean, I wake up with a spring in my step, but that's just the way I've always been, you know what I mean? I don't say grace before food or anything like that. I do things like that, Frank.
Well, I probably do. I've started, you know, as I practice, I do it more and more, to be truthful. I'm becoming more grateful. As I do it more, that sort of practice thing starts to take over.
But the
Christian religion is kind of gorgeous now, because really it says there aren't 10 commandments anymore. There are really only 2, and that's one is to love the Creator with all your heart, and to love your neighbour as you would love as yourself. And so that makes Christianity a fairly simple, pretty easy to employ doctrine, in my view.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two values that everybody can do with ease, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus says his yoke is mild.
Yeah. And that's all happened. That's because if you follow the Bible, really, on the sacrifice of the lamb, all the other stuff disappeared, all the Mosaic law, everything.
Yeah.
So how the message gets made so complicated for me the way it was in my childhood, I've got no idea.
That's for everyone. It's the control system, isn't it? There was the control system before. It's like China. It's difficult, but that's the whole point, I think, is to distort that message. So you end up railing against something that doesn't really exist.
Yeah. So that's my agenda, Rachel, was just to talk about those things today, just to think, all of the ideas of Brian Cox are totally BS and easily disproved anyway.
Mm.
You know, we can't have a vacuum of space and an atmosphere. Therefore, absolutely everything Brian Cox is saying must be wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I wonder if the sort of like the chemtrail stuff is part of putting particulates in the atmosphere so that streetlights, you know, you get a haze so you don't see the stars. Because I see far less stars now than I did.
Can you give when you were a child?
10, 20, yeah. And even though we had all the streetlights, you know.
I completely agree with you. I think that the most ridiculous, part of our lives is the amount of aircraft travel that people do. You know, at the same time that we're told that you know we've got to cut down greenhouse gases, and you know we've got to minimise the amount of oil we're using because you know we're running out of oil. People are travelling in planes like we used to travel on buses.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, let me mention this. I was just watching Poncho Pete on his Flat Earth channel there, and he was going over the amount of fuel in some of these plane wings.
Yeah.
And I think there was 83,000 gallons in an A380's wings fuel.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's an awful lot, Frank. and I'm looking, and that's the equivalent of 10 tankers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right, I'm just going to bring Faye in, but I think she's I think she's just listening. She said she just wants to listen, but I'm just trying to bring her in.
Hi, Faye.
Sorry, people who just want to watch.
She's in the lobby.
Yeah.
Can you listen from the lobby, can you?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Guten Abend, Frau Faye. Wie geht's? Oh, she's gone.
Bring her back in one sec.
She's faded away, I'm afraid, Zinni.
Yeah, sorry, sorry, I'm just...
She must have come out.
Ah, there she is.
Guten Abend, Frau Faye, wie geht's?
I think Faye's muted for the minute. She just wanted to listen.
She is.
Like I say, I'm only suspicious of people who want to watch. So, yeah.
Why are you suspicious of people that want to watch? I would have thought their motives were pure.
So,
we'll be Denny, touch you while you're doing things. Sorry, Rachel.
Denny, can't you put under Brian Cox's door?
Oh, his little office room. Yeah, I think it's a ruse because I've been to the building it was in, and there was a few like post-it notes near the door. So,
yeah.
I think he's always out and about there, learning people's space.
Yeah, on tour. Selling out to Echo Arenas because that's what professors do.
Oh yeah, but I mean, but this is the funny thing. It brings into question every measurement they give you. So these, you know, this at the moon's 248,000 miles away. No, it's not. It's a light in the sky which doesn't correspond to the one that's meant to be lighting it up, which is meant to be, you know, 180 times further away.
It doesn't correspond at all.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Frank, do you know the other day I got up, the moon rose at 4 in the morning, I got up at 5. It moved, let's say the sky is a clock, and there you can only see 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It moved from about 11 to about 2 o'clock, and then it just dropped down again. So it rose, moved across a little bit, and then just dropped. Disappeared. Yeah. It was in the sky by 8 hours, and it was a tiny little slither, because I think we got a new moon today. I'm not sure, but it was a little slither. Yeah, it fucks off for 4 days. It chooses when it wants to light up. The phases change during the day, and the phases only change from the amount of light, the magnitude, or the amount of light that's being shone on it, and I don't mean... What I mean is the bluer the sky gets, the less the phase changes. It's nothing to do with it moving. But nevertheless, all the measurements they give you of distances and everything to do that you can literally throw away. Start off with your own. Pick the moon. Have the moon as number one mono. At least it stays still. You can focus on it. Use that as your main light, and then just keep your eye on the sun. Keep your eye on where the moon's meant to be. Keep your eye on what they tell you you're on. Oh, yeah. Well, like I say, don't use their measurements. The celestial measurements. They don't even confuse them.
You know, like I said, now I'm completely relaxed in... I don't worry about arguing with people anymore about anything, really. I just... It is, to me, a fait accompli that the as you call it, the clock, it is a clock. Our skies are a clock. The Bible says they were devised to be a clock.
Yeah.
And the actual Hebrew word for the stars is locators. They're placed there, according to the Bible, to help you locate where you are.
What's the French word? Is it locute? Does that mean to speak? Locute. It's just the similarity is the word. But nevertheless, it really is. That's all it is. It's a clock. It's a wonderful clock. And they tell us it's wrong, by the way. They tell us it's 3 minutes out every day, they say.
Yeah.
Which is good of it.
You know, there's no end to the nonsense. It's not nonsense that the people that run the place believe. It's like I heard someone say, you know, it's not as if, you know, evil spirits don't believe in God. They know full well the Creator exists, and that's why they operate the way they do.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, I started watching Exorcist the other day, and the first word in it is Allahu Akbar. Great. So when that gets revamped, they'll probably remove it. Yeah, he starts off in Iraq, so that's nice there. Funnily enough, though, do you reckon they needed to...
Can I just talk about that movie for 1 second? One thing about that Exorcist movie is that it made the process of a protection from demons really complicated, right, and really dangerous and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put forward to you the view that the way to get protection from demons is what I've just said. Just ask the Creator to protect you from demons. Silently or out loud. And that does it.
When I come across a demon, I'm sure it will.
The problem is, I probably have
in the past anyway. You know, when people are scared, you know, they don't turn around. No one goes running for a priest.
Well, priests are some of the scariest people I've ever met.
Yeah. And especially if you meet one in the street, you know, where there's no context of a church. Because it's he's either a confidence trickster or he's a priest.
Yeah.
Or he's on his way to a fancy dress. You know, maybe. But most priests' goal was going to work clothes, fancy dress. Just letting up. You know, that's fakeologist.com. Yeah. What about Brain Tactical? I know you've been skating around it. Let's get to it. I know you love
it. You're talking about me?
Yeah, you love it.
In what way have I been skating around? Did I agree with you?
Just by not mentioning it. That's all. I'm kidding. But right. So hang on. We're nearly there. No, well, I've just got to talk about.
I agree with you entirely. The shape has been made to be a brain. I don't even think there's any argument about that.
No, it does seem to be a bit of a. I want to say real estate scam, but I don't mean it in that respect. More like a real estate scam of the minds of countries. You know. Well, yeah. You know, everybody's agreeing to this, and there's going to be kickbacks.
Even this thing about that where they say, "Oh yeah, obviously the flat Earth map is stupid because look how the flat Earth map says Australia looks like. Australia doesn't look like that; it looks like this." But we have got no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I get all the navigation maps for Australia, which are on a grid, and lay them all out, I'd be interested to see how the shape turns out. But unfortunately, I haven't got them all. I've got some of them. But, you know, if you join them all together, it'd be interesting to see how the shape really comes out more like the flat Earth map than not.
It could be. It could be. We're at the mercy of the people who've printed the maps anyway.
Well, they have to print them. They print them on the basis of what's called azimuthal projection anyway.
Yeah.
So straight away it's going to turn out to look more like the flat Earth map. Yeah, so the whole map thing is just, again, we'll see.
Yeah, but people want to see where them planes are flying, you know, from your country to South America. Doesn't really bother me, because if you trick people, they've landed on the moon and nuclear weapons are real and, you know, a number of other things aren't going to be out to them.
Just going to keep doing it, that's right.
Yeah.
We live in the age of deception.
Because he's the other country. other landmasters that, you know, planes don't fly to? What would you
I wholeheartedly believe there's more land. I wholeheartedly.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't, what about Iceland? Oh, sorry, what about Greenland? The Greenland thing is funny too. You haven't talked about that.
Greenland's a wonderful place where everybody kills themselves. They get sunshine all through the year. They all eat blubber. Fortunately, the kids are not having sex, and their ice is melting. No, they're not having fun.
On Greenland.
Yeah.
And when
and
you look
the
at
the Olympics, I'm sure someone
Google
made
Earth
10 seconds.
Map of Greenland is just a white shape.
It looks like a liver. It's the same shape as a liver.
Is it? Let me have a look at it. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, Unreal found that, and that's one of the main things, one of the main fatty organs they love eating over there.
Rachel and I probably have agreed that most of the Earth is made up of dead body parts anyway.
Oh, I fancy that, and everything that was, most of what we see is, was once alive.
Yeah.
It makes sense that organic matter, this carbon, this, you know, or we just own the, you know, everything, comes from something that was once alive. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. I was listening to some of those, Aaron? I can't think of what his surname was.
Aaron,
he is funny when he goes on about dinosaurs. This is inflammable dinosaurs.
When he goes on about what?
Inflammable dinosaurs.
They're dragons.
What's it? Those liquid inflammable dinosaurs.
Is it? I used to speak to him on Skype a bit, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he was inviting me to come talk on his shows, and then next thing you know, he's gone. He's vanished and dead, apparently.
Yeah.
He was most upset that I thought the Bible had any credibility at all.
I tell you, he's at least witty, isn't he?
Oh, very, you know, when I spoke to him, he's a super smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when he found those 1930s film clips showing that plastic's made out of wood, did you see those on his website?
Yeah.
And then I went to the local wood chip bloke and asked him who that for, and he's telling me it's all for... Oh, sorry, I said, oh, I hear that wood chips are used to make plastic. He said, oh, yeah, this chip shipment's going to a Chinese plastic factory. So it's like really well known.
Well, you see, that's why I think the Bible will be around for a few more years, because like you say, you know, the wood chips are plastic. The Bible, it must have a basis in there. Remember, I don't believe the churches are legit, and I do think the Bible's put there by the people that built the churches and the masons. And I believe
the churches are entirely like there to divert people from the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It takes you away from the thing. Yeah, it's like building a mall for people to communicate. It's like, no, when they go there, people don't even talk to each other. There's more people in one place not talking to each other. So, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying about, like, with the churches, these bastards built the churches and they put their books in there. The fact that you're getting something different out of the book, Frank, is just because they're not allowed to change the book. I don't think they are.
That seems to be a rule. And also they're not allowed to say that there are any specific lies. For example, like people that tell me that Bible's false, like I think I've had this discussion with John Le Bon Anab, you know, I'll say, okay, so which part do you think is specifically a lie? And they just go to water on that topic. Seems to be some rules preventing them from...
Well, that's it. How much of that plastic is made out of wood? And, you're going to get different...
I'm guessing that things like polyethylene are made out of, you know, some of the more common plastics, the polyethylene film.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying there so you can relate that to the Bible. Some of these stories is fake.
Yeah.
And someone will say, oh, no, the entire thing. And then you'll get some people saying, well, you know, water to wine.
Yeah. But water to
wine is also
a metaphor, by the way.
The Bible as well, water to wine. It was Herod. Was it Herod? King Herod.
Herod.
The inventor. Herod. What was his name?
King Herod, yep.
Yeah. He did the water to wine, apparently.
Yeah.
So, there you go. But maybe, you know, Jesus, maybe he just borrowed it.
Well, the problem is that the modern story, the way the Catholics portray Jesus is strictly the Mithraic religion.
So, would I enlarge on that?
Well, so the Mithra is the guy that died for 3 days and rose again on the 25th, you know, which is, it's the 3 days, 22nd, 23rd, 24th are the 3 days of the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church, you know they've got, it's a, the Catholic Church is a solar, sun-worshipping religion, Sol Deus.
Yeah.
And they even call it Sunday. You know, the Sabbath should be on a Saturday, and the Catholic Church can point, has often pointed out to Protestants, well, if you're a true Protestant, why are you worshipping Sunday? Because we've specifically told you that Sunday was created by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but equally, you can look at it a different way. That Sunday is the eighth day. It's the new start, the new creation. It's the new week. It's the resurrection. That's what I see. The Sunday is the eighth day. I don't see it as the seventh day. It's the eighth day.
Okay, I'd be interested in hearing more about that, because I don't see how there can be an eighth day, but there's only 7 days on the calendar.
Yeah, no, but it's about the resurrection. It's this new beginning. I mean, I can understand it in that term. That's to set if the Lord died when we have a new creation and we're born again. And it's a new birth, so you could say it's the eighth day because it's the start of a new week.
Yeah, you know, that's a thing. But in my mind, I think that, you know, that, as I said before, the whole of the Mosaic Law has kind of disappeared. We've really got those two commandments now. Yeah.
And that's really, going back to Judaism and the seventh day and the fact that it was a sin to do anything on the Sabbath,
yeah.
And that Jesus taught about. Well, he did. He healed people on the Sabbath, and there's the stuff in the Bible where he says that the one that you're looking at is greater than. I can't quote the Bible, but I've read those particular passages. So he heals the sick on the seventh day because he wouldn't pull. Because he says, which one of you wouldn't pull a sheep out of a if it was stuck down a hole on the Sabbath?
Yeah, exactly.
But you treat people like.
Well, that was the reasons why he was put on trial, wasn't it? Because he'd healed on the Sabbath, yeah.
So from my understanding, and I'm not saying my understanding is like the correct understanding of it by any means, but I think that's particularly why it's not the Saturday, because it's not related to. That's where the seventh day comes from, and that's why it's on the eighth day, because it's to do the resurrection.
Yeah. Anyway, the view is that the early Christian church did worship on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and basically from the time of Constantine, you know, a whole bunch of things happened. For example, that a soldier that was able to be a Christian, whereas before that wasn't possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because of those, you know, they commit murder.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting what you say about the, what did you call it before we got into that?
Mithra.
But yeah, no, I agree with you that is that from Constantine?
Yeah, so the truth, but essentially then when Constantine adopted the Christian church to be the, you know, the state religion, he effectively took the Jewish version of Christianity and, you know, completely changed all the festivals. So there was no...
Yeah.
Obviously, Jesus wasn't born on the winter solstice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously, the celebration of Easter, they even keep it, Easter is about fertility and Easter eggs and bunnies. That's obviously got nothing to do with Christianity,
yeah.
Nor is a Christmas tree.
No. But, I mean, that's part of conquering it, isn't it? The way to conquer it is to take over it and then divert it. And I mean, political parties, they do that all the time with political parties.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
a member of a political party or create one.
It's the same tactic used over and over again. That's all. I'm just really trying to provide some data to reinforce the view expressed by Denny that the churches are just there to divert you away from reading the books, getting back to the source. And that the Bible does somehow seem to have been protected in some way. And there seems to be a reluctance to call it out as being absolutely false.
Well, there's also, you've got to think, is part of the power system that is in place here now, the one that we're under. Well, I mean, most of it comes from the Bible. If they call out the Bible and get rid of it, then they get rid of their own power system.
That's right. Well, it is.
Queen is the Queen because she swore her oath on the Bible and she comes from that bloodline.
And that she has assumed, she has assumed the divine right of kings.
That's
on
it.
The basis of the absence of Jesus Christ on earth. In the absence of Jesus Christ on earth, the Pope takes sovereignty over all souls.
Because it's interesting, again, when you go to the law courts and the Bible's in the law courts, and it's just, you know, so, I don't know. I mean...
Well, do you not reckon that's just a semblance of the power that's still in charge? Is still recognises that as their like template. And no, we're not run by sheikhs and billionaires, are we? You know?
No, we're run by the royal families.
Pretty much.
But I think the well, that's part of the reason why there is a diversion. It's part of why they hide it from us. It's like if we followed the teachings of it, then we wouldn't be in this state. But part of it is they can do exactly what they do based on people not believing in the Bible and believing in the word of God as ruler.
Yeah, agreed. That's entirely the problem.
Yeah. And that's why they're so out of everything. It's always Christianity they go after, one way or another, to make, you know, and all of the music stuff is all, you know, to make Christianity look stupid and idiotic and
reactionary, etc., etc. Yep.
Yeah. And you're an idiot if you believe in that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I try not to believe in anything.
Yeah.
The idea that you're an idiot if you even try to adopt the model or employ any of the models, you know, that's equal.
Yeah.
You know, why would anyone pray? What good could that do? That's superstition.
Mm. Well, people dream, people hope, you know, whether you want to call it selfish or just continue it on a daily basis. People want things. Some people use vanity for it. You know, they hope for a good body, so they use the gym. Some people do it with the mind.
But let's be honest. No different. Let's be honest, Denny. The only reason we lust after the things we lust after is because of constant television advertising and reinforcement that, you know, such and such.
That was the royal we there, wasn't it? That was the royal we. Because, as you know, I've been 15 years.
It's basically such and such as the successful person because they've got this thing or that thing. But all of these material things decay.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they're not. They're not a lasting treasure.
Oh no!
So people
I find legacies. If you know, rich people's legacies, I find them so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and leave things for you know, and I was saying this is a bit of a, you know, obviously the time was running out there. They've been chasing things that much, and then they try and, because there are good Samaritans in the world who try and, you know, do good as before they die. And,
yeah. Well, that's the most common. People want to do good.
Yeah.
The problem is we've got no idea what good is. We've just got no idea.
No, well, you were showing earlier the follies of man trying to, you know, get clean energy, and we were ruining the environment there. That was making me laugh.
Exactly. You know, it's good to have a windmill, yeah, but it turns out it knocks out all the poor bloody...
It sounds like a Simpsons episode, that, reading that. Endangered the eagles more.
And then my brother-in-law, he was on one of the local councils here in Melbourne, and he had lobbied to get the lights turned out at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And he thought he'd won everything. He thought he'd talked to all the councillors and had the vote, you know, to work about 8-4 or something in his favour. Up to the vote on the day,
and they lost the vote by one vote. This is an idea that would have saved the council $400,000 or $500,000 a year in electricity costs. Demonstrated, you know, that how environmentally friendly the council was, etc., etc., etc. This guy had done all the lobbying and lost the vote. And the next council election, some crazy candidate was put up against him that won, and he lost the seat.
Okay.
You know, this is a man who'd served the community for years and years and years. He's the chief scout in Australia and all sorts of stuff. Now, you couldn't get a finer man than the, than my brother-in-law.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? It's mad. I went into the museum, the Liverpool, you know, major museum. I've probably not been in a year, so I should go back. When I last went into it, it wasn't that long after it opened. I think it opens at 10 o'clock, and it must have been about 10:15 that I'd gone in there. And I was looking around, and I was thinking, they've forgotten to turn the lights on. It was bloody dark. I couldn't get over it. I got a security guard, and I said, you're not going to turn the lights on so we can see the exhibition? And he says, oh, no, we're saving money. It's like, what's the
point? Is that really what was said?
That's what the security guard said to me. Now we haven't got enough money to turn the lights on. It's like,
but he must have been pulling your leg, wouldn't he?
You know, I wanted to record him. I thought, I want to get an interview with him because he was having a right moan about it. I thought, it's ridiculous. And then, okay, so that was the sort of furniture and stuff like that. So obviously they didn't class that as good.
I've got to disappear to the loo for a couple of minutes. I'll be back. But I just, when I come back, can we take up that topic of the your house, you know, when it's convenient, they want to save money on electricity, but when it's inconvenient, street lighting like that.
Okay. Hello, Russ.
Hello.
How you doing?
Frank left because I came in and I triggered
you, mate. You make Frank need to go to the toilet. Looking around.
Simulated his bowels digitally.
Original stimulant. That's you.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, we've got a wind blowing outside me. I'm just going to mute a sec.
Oh, everybody's leaving.
Well, fuck. We actually leave too. Sorry, Ray. I mean to drive your cadre away here.
No, I'm fine. Oh, yeah, Denny's back.
I'm back. Sorry, I just got a gust of wind. They always forget, like I'm in Britain.
I said, oh, it's a demon that's coming for you later.
Yeah, he sends a Washington in the body of a cat. Yeah. So what's new? What's new, Russ? How are you, sir?
Oh man, I'm all right. Busy, you know. Busy with work at the CIA.
CIA. But it's your little lad that makes you tired. That's it.
He can
handle being a spy.
No, being a spy would be terrible. That's like, you know, that'd be a pretty shitty job. I don't think they even need him anymore. It's just all captured electronically anyway.
No, and it must have been treacherous walking around with like pens with nitroglycerin in your pocket in the 30s.
Right. Oh man, what you guys been talking about?
Bible.
We're talking about the Bible.
Who's got a higher social security number? You give me your guys first, and I'll tell you mine last. Okay, let me write it down.
Well, yeah, are you ready for this? I'll tell you the first four letters of mine, and you'll shit your pants. It's brilliant.
Uh-oh.
It's JL. Yeah?
I'm right. Yeah. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. You can, I'm going to tell you the first two letters. 7-4, which adds up to 11, and 9-2, which adds up to 11. So, yeah, there you go. So it's like 11-11 straight away. And I'm not going to tell you the rest because I can't remember it.
That's right.
Yeah, 11-11. And a lot of them are. They always add up to 11, which is 3-8. What's yours, Rachel? The first four numbers.
I'm sure you'll be able to work out what my birthday is when I tell you that. it's NX 11. Oh, it's got an 11 in it.
So you guys have letters in yours?
Yes, that is a number. And barcodes. Remember when I worked out barcodes had 666 in them? That was a mind blowing thing. Especially because I was sat on the toilet reading toothpaste. Monofluorophosphate. Oh, look at the barcode.
So is yours just a number?
Yeah. Ours are called in America, it's called a social security number. I don't know what you guys are called. And ours is, let me see, it's nine numbers, nine digits, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think ours is nine.
And they're digits like, I don't know if zero is one of them, but one through nine, there's no ten in it, you know.
Yeah, ours is nine, but it's two letters, six numbers, and one letter at the end.
Huh.
Yeah, so
What's it called? National
National
Insurance
Number.
National Insurance.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's national. It's better than yours.
You're
social. Fucking hippie. Get a haircut, man. Fucking we're national.
I don't feel very secure. Yeah. With this number, I'd feel so much more secure.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Hey, Russ. Have a good Melbourne Cup day?
Good what day?
Melbourne Cup day.
I don't know what that is.
Australia has the day off to celebrate a horse race here called the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, dear.
How bizarre is that? It's more sacred than Christmas, of course.
You have to take off to see a horse race. Why don't we get a day off at the National then? Oh, it's because it's on a Saturday. It used to be on a Friday, I think.
It was, yeah, it used to be.
Yeah.
Did you get the day off for then?
I don't know, that was before my time. Rachel's older than me.
I'm older than you. I'm not that much older. I'm a bit older than you.
No, I'm only 33, so there you go, Rachel.
But all of those things in the rain references I've put in, that doesn't reference my age. That references me watching some Saturday matinees on telly.
Oh, God. Hey, I tell you what, I'm glad you put Donald O'Connor up after it, straight after it, because that goes on par with that singing in the rain scene. There's nothing better than him doing his running up backflips.
Oh, yeah, love that one.
Right, and especially when he's dancing with the mannequin on his lap.
Yeah, I love that.
He's making it touch his knee and things like that. It's brilliant. And Donald O'Connor, big shout out to you. Do you know he only died? I'm sure it was only about 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Recently. Or someone said it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm lying.
You think you might be right.
So that's who Russ is named after, Gene Kelly.
He's gone silent on that point. He's neither confirming nor denying.
His silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, so the museum, that's it, the museum. It's like, I wanted to go in to have a look at the glassware. That was why I went in there. I'd looked at it in the past and I thought, I want to go in and look. Well, first of all, I couldn't go when I went in there. It was the exhibition which I thought it would be in, which is all of the furniture in the 18th century. I don't know what they name it. There wasn't any glass. Well, it was dark. And as I say, I thought they'd just forgotten to turn the lights on. And he said, no, we've switched the lights. They've only got like part of the lights that they switch on. So literally, you could see barely anything. It was really dark.
It is crazy, isn't it?
It's absolutely crazy. This is a national, the world, what's it called? The World Museum, Liverpool. it's supposed to be a proper. And it's a really impressive building as well, and what they've got. But they'd moved the glassware. It was in, they'd actually packed it up, and it was not on view. So I didn't even get to, even if I'd been able to see it, it would have been in the dark. So I went to see what else was on there, and they have like world stuff. That was pretty, that was better lit, the where they have the African and Asian and European sections of, the quality of the artwork. That's what you realise, what people could do with the hands in the past. It is amazing. So when you've got time and not worried with emails.
The last time I was in Liverpool, I think I went to the Albert Dock, and there was a maritime museum there.
Yeah.
And I remember the thing that struck me was at that time was when you read about it was a kept going on about basically alluding to the homosexuality amongst sailors. It was pretty interesting that this This was, yeah, what year would that have been? I guess it was 2006, yeah.
2006.
Just hanging on and on and on and on, really. But not sort of straight out saying it, but talking about how, you know, while there'll be entertainment, the way the crew would entertain themselves with plays and, you know, the men were obviously hatch actors in the female roles and, you know, some men were, I can't remember quite well, but they didn't actually say they were homosexual or that homosexual was a thing, but they just gave the impression that it was, you know, life at sea was all about being gay.
Well, they say it's not gay if you're underway. So there you go. It makes sense, right?
Et cetera.
Well, I'll tell you the one place in the museum that was working, because I went up to, like,
So this isn't an Albert Dock. This is a different place, is it?
No, this is the World Museum. It was the first museum. It's supposed to be the proper flagship museum. You know, there's about four different museums in Liverpool. As you say, there's the Maritime one, and they've got opened a new one about Liverpool history. but this one's meant to be, you know, the cultural one. You know, and next to the Walker Art Gallery. If you know the Walker Art Gallery.
No, I don't know it, no.
No.
I must admit, I've completely gone off art galleries.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple of good pieces of art in there. Anyway, I went up to the top floor, which is the planetarium, and they had a big Twin Peaks propaganda express.
Twin Peaks?
You know, not him personally. a video of him talking blah. It's like a
David Lynch, you think, or
Tim Peaks. Tim Peaks. He's the Briton who went up on the International Space Station.
Ah, yes.
So they had that working. They had everything else cultural in darkness, but they had that working. So it's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, no, it sounds about
and that
nice.
Was actually when I went, because that's like last year. That's not long since I was started looking at flat stuff. You know, so looking at what he's saying in a whole different light, going, oh,
yeah,
it's terrible what they do to kids.
I think if you get a chance, go and have a look at the mummies. Mummies make me laugh.
Is that?
Yeah.
Why do the mummies make you laugh?
Just because I don't think they're real, Frank. These are like, they look like kids, man. They look like I don't know. They like early versions of Stephen Hawking that they just bandaged up and tried to hide it somewhere. And someone went like, "Fuck it, Egypt." Do you know what I mean? They don't even look like the decayed bodies now. You know, the skulls are smaller. Because there's loads in the museum. There's about 8 or 9. They talk about different ways of them. This is Manchester Museum, different ways of mummification and stuff. And,
but the mummy exhibit that came to Geelong was a cat mummy museum. An exhibition about all the cats that got mummified in ancient Egypt.
Right. And I know they were revered, and for some reason, I think they were rare. Now we know why. Someone was fucking bandaging them. And I didn't.
But I just thought that was, you know, I thought it was a bit of genius to work out an economical way to show us Egypt without bringing all those great big human mummies out. Just bring the cats out.
Yeah. Oh, you are a shifter. Yeah, that is a good way of that. Yeah, it's like, look, they used to do it with cats too. And they'd appeal to the other type of, you know, person who's interested in furthering their education by learning stuff that's not real. Yeah, but there are some people that are like that.
Well, anyone that wants to get a job at a university has to do that, I'm afraid.
Well, yeah, here's one for you. Obviously, I cleaned the university. Not all of it, just my bit. And as soon as I got there, within a week, I went to the museum. I said, so how do I get a gig in here? Because, seriously, you know, I like them. I grew up in the museum. It was at the end of my street. I went in there every day, being about 6. And all they did was move from one side of it to another. So by the time I was 11, I'd been, you know, literally used to go in there every day. But I went in and I said, so why do we get a gig in here? And he said, no, it's pulling for him. And said, well, why are they cleaning? He said, no, well, we don't really get much out of them. We have just one person who cleans the floor and things like that. But it's all voluntary, pretty much people helping out with their PhDs and doctorates after it, you know, in order to get an extra grade and things. So it's self-perpetuating, so to speak.
Yeah.
You got dinosaurs, though, so it's okay.
Those highly inflammable ones.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The only reason I went in is because I took the, you know, the big crab at the bottom of the ocean was spider crab. They took it out the window. They used to have it in the window, Manchester University, and they took it out the window. So that literally, I only went in to say, where's the crab? And it was just as you walk in the door, and it was there. So I thought, well, I'll have a walk around. And where a dinosaur used to be, we got loads of cutouts of birds flying in the shape of a dinosaur. That was nice.
So while I'm being grumpy...
okay, go on.
Why didn't the discovery that the Piltdown Man was completely fraudulent end the evolution problem?
It's not a problem for them. There's no problem for them. For the people who believe in it, there's no problem at all.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of saying,
why is that, I wonder?
And saying, you know, no, it's not my cat, and just pulling out another one. Is this your cat? Nope. Okay, wait, I'll get there. They'll pull down, they'll find one too that everyone agrees on.
It's the most ridiculous one, isn't it?
We'll base
the entire theory and all the proof that we've got, you know, that for 40 years, they perpetuated the story on the basis of the Piltdown Man, discover it's fake and say, oh, yeah, but it still doesn't matter. It's still real.
Well, you know, it's real. It's real to me. You know, that's what they say. It's real enough, you know. Does it really matter? Look, we know it's true, you know. We don't need any evidence. Just, that's fine, you know. Everybody
knows. It's all self-evident.
It's exactly. Axiomatic.
Yeah, there's a way of getting around that, where the fact that someone faked what we're actually looking for actually goes to show that evolution is possible, because, look, someone's faked. You know, there'll be a way around that. There always is. This is a clever bunch. And, oh, by the way, original, I know you're one of the clever bunch now. I was listening to you talk the other night. Yes, easy words, your big fancy words, waving around like a big willy. I see you. Yes, you and Matt.
Did I drunk dial you or something?
No. You be chemical.
Maybe you said pedagogy, Russ, did you?
He might have said that.
Ontology.
Ontology. No, not that.
Yeah. So yeah, no more trying to be clever.
What a giveaway! Hey, what a giveaway!
No more dick jokes. I'm trying to get on the bandwagon. Put your glasses back on.
Maybe you should start talking like Brains, Russ.
Like who?
Brains from the Thunderbirds.
Oh, my gosh. You know, my son likes Thunderbirds, oddly enough.
How could you not like the Thunderbirds?
Well, I liked it when I was a kid, too. Man,
yeah, that's right.
It's like, holy shit. Where's Lady Penelope?
And you know, really, that is, you know, to watch how they did all that marionette work, it's really impressive.
Yeah. Except when you get the close up and it's a real pair of hands.
I didn't realise that. I'm going to have to look at that again now. So
yeah,
that's another little bit of...
The close ups, they always do a real pair of hands.
Well, that's another little bit of genius you've shown me, because I never picked that, ever. That's great. But I always enjoyed Brain's voice and the way that he sounded so scientific when he was speaking.
Yeah, that's a good take-off of him.
Brains?
Yeah, and Lady Penelope was always smashed, wasn't she? Did you know it? She was like a whore that was being drugged.
Yeah.
She was always full of drugs on her way back. I used to turn it on. He was like, there she is. She did. Banged all night again by them Tracy brothers, and I was just being fucked up home.
Paris Hilton model.
Yeah, yes, yes, with the fur coat and no knickers, you know the type.
No, I think Joanna Lumley based her character on Lady Penelope.
Mm, yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, the cheekbones, definitely. And yeah, yeah.
No, but the way that Joanna Lumley behaves is exactly the way you're describing Lady Penelope, isn't it?
Mm.
Her public persona, I mean.
Well, what about that other coincidence we mentioned? Croft had big boobs, and it was played by, what was her name? Who's John Boat's daughter?
Yeah, the vampire. One who kissed her brother.
Yeah, what's her name? I forgot her name.
Angelina Jolie.
That's it, yeah. And then she had her breasts removed, so.
She didn't want to get cancer.
I know. She's a good citizen.
I think she's a fine example to womanhood.
Oh, I forgot you're a skinny jeans wearer now, aren't you? I forgot about that.
That's right. I'm a social justice warrior.
Still one, man. Yeah, I forgot you took on that mantle earlier this month, I think. How's it working out?
It's really, really tight in here, too. It's uncomfortably tight.
Well, it's going to be with that black man, a midget, a Chinese lesbian, all there helping out, you know.
Yeah. And the problem is every time I have a big, fat, juicy steak, the jeans get tighter.
Sorry. Yeah, I've got one for you. Would you rather see two girls kissing or two lesbians kissing? I'm sorry.
Well, it's got to be a lot better than two trannies on Friends kissing, hasn't it?
Yes, got to be. Oh, it's getting windy. Right, I'm muting and closing my window. Back in a minute.
So, Russ, how's it going?
Good. I got some kind of crippling back problem I've been dealing with the last week or so.
Oh, that's awful.
It's got me. I'm in the throes of it right now, so I got the moment. But I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if I pulled a muscle or something, but it's something else.
I've got a suggestion.
Yeah, what's that?
Apart from prayer and sunshine and salt, more magnesium.
Well, is that going to do something for me right now?
Well, quite often back things are muscular. And, you know, you're kind of spasming in some way, and a lack of magnesium often tends to be at the cause or the reason why muscles go into spasm, especially really strong ones like in your groin and in your back.
Yeah, that's I've been having back spasms, so which I've never had before.
And you can buy magnesium pretty cheaply. I think the cheapest way to buy it is to buy those magnesium chloride flakes.
Magnesium chloride flakes.
Do you want me to give you a link?
Yeah, send me a link if you would.
I mean, it's pretty cheap to try.
Is that better than oxide?
Oh yeah, much better. Magnesium chloride. Oh, here we go. There's a whole bunch of them here. So here's a link to a search, Russ. Where do you want me to post it? I'll post it into the general.
Oh, sure.
Have you got general there open?
I'm about to right now. Let's see here. I got you.
So you just make up a, I think the best way to do it is you get the flakes and you say you get a glass of water. You keep putting flakes until no more will dissolve, and that's concentrated magnesium chloride. And you'll be amazed how much of the flakes can dissolve in a glass of water. And then just add a few drops of that concentrate to your coffee once or twice a day.
Mm. Huh. So it's a magnesium salt, huh?
Magnesium chloride, yeah.
Well,
I worked in the salt business for years. I'm still working at it, but when I ran the sort of ops of a pretty large company, and I ended up grabbing samples of what we call bittens, which is after you've taken the sodium chloride out of seawater, the stuff you end up with is magnesium and potassium-rich brew called bittens because it tastes bitter and horrible.
Mm.
But it's rich in magnesium chloride, magnesium sulfate, magnesium and potassium sulfate and potassium chloride. So that's the stuff I've got, which is just magic. But this is the next best thing.
I'll check it out. I got to check something. Yeah, I got to do something.
And it's cheap. I mean, if it doesn't work, it's not going to do.
feel like I need some, like, proton therapy or something. Something experimental that could, you know, fail. If it fails, the result will be I'm the Hulk.
Why don't you start drinking your own urine then? Experimental enough, isn't it?
What do you mean by start?
Yeah. I do that too, by the way. I just find it works, you know.
No. I don't know anything about drinking my own urine. I just drink other people's, you know.
Now that really is quite disgusting, of course.
What are you gonna have for dinner? What do you mean? I'm gonna eat my own shit. What do you eat? Just a smoothie today. I have diarrhea.
You've been watching too much Matt Damon films, human. Can't do that. Pretend. There's nothing wrong though with throwing urine in under your tongue every morning. I tell you. So yeah, and remember, I'm not weird, but you know, I'll try anything once. And I had an infection in a tooth, and I got rid of that infection in my tooth with urine therapy in no time.
I don't call it therapy. I just think it's sensible to drink your own piss.
I call it therapy in case I remember. But Frank, do you know what? It's been a long time since I've done it. Well over a year. But I never put it in a glass. Just used to literally put a bit under my tongue. And swill with it when it was really bad.
You're obviously much more flexible than I realised.
Oh yeah, I can even be surprised. Yeah, no, but like I say, people want to watch me, you know. You can use a little bit of urine, a little bit of water, and swill it around your mouth, and it will numb the pain. And you know what? If you're in pain from a tooth,
you're in pain. You're in trouble.
Look at that. I knew you were clever.
Well, I have since from the time I stopped brushing my teeth, all that stuff just went away.
Yes, I've brushed my teeth for 7 years. Just seeing that brushing your teeth with toothpaste is not the best for them.
But I don't think the brush does them any good either.
No, it's true.
It depends on your diet, though. Like one of those files that you grind down nails and stuff with. I just run those over my teeth.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that sounds
sharp. You know, and strong.
Yeah,
I did that when I was about 8 to sharpen them up. Believe it or not. I'm not even joking. I had an aversion. Told you I used to love werewolves growing up. I had some little. They're already sharp. I just put a little bit more of a point on them. It was funny. And I went through a pint of glue mirrors together so they went pointed. But that was, I was a weird child.
A weird child?
Very weird child, yes.
No, a weird. Weird. Weird.
Yes. No, not a weird child. Weird child of mine. No. Yeah, no. There you go. But yeah, so how did you hit your back, Russ? Was it doing something working class?
Yeah, oh yeah, right. Me down in the throes, bro. I was, I'd just gotten done volunteering at my church, of course, you know, and then I'd been giving blood to the homeless. So I don't know, dude. I just woke up and one day, again.
See, you call it giving blood. We call it raping over it.
I wake up every day. But I
woke raping up, the homeless.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just noticed it. At some point during the day, I noticed that it had really hurt, like, considerably, you know, like, that it wasn't just, like, a soreness or something, and just kind of since then. I don't know any specific event that triggered it or anything like that, which is why I'm pretty sure it's, like, some kind of life-threatening, you know, imminent demise. It's
yeah, probably, like, you wouldn't be like, talking about it if you wasn't.
Cancer of the spine.
Right, exactly. Lupus or...
Yeah, take some videos of you looking like you're on Thunderbirds walking to your chair.
Well, I read a wonderful story in the paper today. I say wonderful, I'm being sarcastic there. And what it was is it was this lad, and it was the machines being turned off on this lad today after 10 years of him being in hospital. And what he did was on his 19th birthday, he was at a gathering with his mates, and one of them bet him to pick up a slug and eat it. So he picked up the slug and had it. Then it gave him something worm, rat worm lung or some disease. And he's been in and out of hospital for 10 years and he nearly died. So I was reading that on the bus. And then on the front page was people had made an effigy for Bonfire Night of the Grenfell Tower, which I thought was quite, you know, quite neat, quite good. Someone had filmed it and put it on Facebook, you know, so I don't know why we, what we're doing. If, you know, you can't even keep secrets like that, because that is funny, that. But that just brought me back to what Typo did on September the 11th for his celebration. Does everyone remember? No one remember. He was covering people with flour and throwing them out the door. And they were running around the back and then coming back in. And then he was throwing them out with flour again. So there you go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I
have a plan. I'm going to posit that this audio is not going to draw in a lot of subscription money.
Yes.
It's only $1.19 a month, right?
$1.19 a month, that's all it is.
I think he's
better off going for $9.11.
I think you can't come up a couple bucks for Ab, you know, and everything he provides, and you know, you're just a miserable person.
I'm not miserable.
That's coming from me.
I'm happy.
Oh, man. What is today's date?
It's the 7th of November.
Yeah, because it was Bonfire Night yesterday. Yay.
Up the bomb, up the revolution.
Yeah, watching the fireworks. Good.
Yeah, nah. Not
so really. You got a revolution with.
He's great, isn't he? The singing detective. Yes, we have. No, it's the 6th day today, Russ.
I'm setting that up for you, Denny, to introduce everybody, and you know, that's throwing you up the alley oop.
Oh right. Oh, you were thinking part of the fat entourage, weren't you? Yeah, I don't know. You can't just point at me and expect me to dance, man. I need to be, you know. Although I could just say if I was talking to you, because you funny use lot. But yeah, no. Like I say, Russ, you were going great guns over there talking to Matt. And, who else was chatting to?
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Oh, is that audio released?
No, they were sat in a room on their own.
Ah.
You missed it. It was wonderful. I mean, all the big words were being used. Told you you'd enjoyed it.
So all the gold is unrecorded?
Yep. I'm sure Typo's got a copy.
And Rachel. Rachel's got her.
I love Typo's stick of saying he hasn't got a keyboard that's working properly. He's been doing that for 5-6 years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, 5-6 years, and I can't talk about it, no, I can't, fuck it. He was having a band, he was missus while I was talking to him the other day, and I could, because I just went dead quiet like a child during a divorce, sat there listening, she left and slammed the door and everything, and you could just tell he was waiting for me, he dragged me through it anyway.
She's not his missus, because I asked her and she went, I'm not married. I'm not married to him.
Well, she sounds like a wonderful girl, and she's really into wildlife and stuff. So, yeah. Mm. I always say if you like animals, then you can't be a bad person. But, yeah, Hitler likes animals, doesn't he? So, you see, that makes Hitler
Walt
good.
Disney.
Walt Disney, too. And he loved kids, didn't he?
Loved kids?
Yep, and midgets. Midgets and kids.
No one will ever know what happened to Adolf Hitler's body. Did it end up in Argentina?
On its way to
Brain Antarctica.
No, like I say, it would be nice if there was something down there. But I'm going back to Greenland now. I'm going to go back looking over that, like Frank mentioned earlier. That seems to be where it's all going on.
With the zero information on the Google Earth, because it's all covered in snow, no pictures of anything. It is the most absurd concept.
It's brilliant when you zoom in. There's nothing. You know, you might have one thing, and you can pinpoint it, zoom back, and nothing around it for miles.
Yeah, it's completely
incongruous. It's cost prohibitive to go there as well. It's 15 grand to get there on a boat, 2 grand a night. you know, $1,500 for a coffee. And I'm not even making these prices up. This is what it costs you to go and stay in Nuke and UUK. So the main place of this, another fake land. So it could be Nuke Hoax. There's another Nuke Hoax. Maybe it's all a ruse. Frank, maybe we're in the Garden of Eden. We all literally were poured in about 600 or 700 years ago.
That is my view. We are in the Garden of Eden. And we're just in the time when Satan's been let out for a time to try and deceive everybody. And if you just ignore all that stuff and live your life, it's great. That's all I'm saying. Since I stopped being fearful and asked for protection, it really is the Garden of Eden. It's just yesterday I had the most beautiful day. We drove down to a place called Lawn, took the dog for his swim in the beach, and you know, we had a beautiful meal.
You ate just, the dog?
I might have done, because we had one of those pad thais with meat in. We don't know what the meat was, but we didn't eat our dog, but we probably ate someone else's dog, maybe.
There you go.
But I do appreciate you picking me up for my poor expression, Russ. You know, really, I don't mind constructive criticism at all.
Yeah, that wonderful picture you were painting there. Now there's a dog plate.
It's a dog burger.
Put a match on my belt for that one. Yeah, it's like the Belinda Carlisle song, isn't it? Heaven is a place on earth, right? Or the garden.
True heaven is a place on earth. That's it.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is heaven, by the way. But I do think it is. It is actually paradise when you think about it. There is air to breathe and food to eat, and it's kind of pretty amazing.
Well, doesn't it stand to reason that this is like probably the final part of our journey, not the beginning?
I think it does for me, anyway. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know if we're all on one journey. You know.
Well, I mean, the physical realm seems to. If there is something after the physical realm, then I don't think it's. I can't see it involving. If it gets more individual, it's more sense, if you know what I mean. But if it's the case of the spirit going back into the, you know, what we call this physical world, and, you know, accounting it to ghosts and PSP and supernatural stuff, that doesn't make sense to me. You see, I think we're picking up on something else when we examine all them things, you know. Same with astral projection and all that. I'm not talking like we're in a simulation, but I'm just saying, just as we see the world out there, we can be part of it as well spiritually, but that's not anything to do with where we're going next. Okay, there you go. God, yeah. Do I have to cross myself now?
I think we're part of the world. You know, I don't think we're some separate thing from the earth. You know?
No,
yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly, Russ. Exactly. That's what I mean. Exactly part of it.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it's a good thing. You know, if I go back to the, the Bible, but God, when He makes the creation, He looks upon it on each day and each individual creation, he says it's good. These things are good. You know, except then the one thing he looks and he sees that man is alone, and he says not good. You know,
but all the I shall make him a helpmate.
Yeah, boy, he really fucked that up, didn't he?
Well, only since it all got corrupted, I think, Russ, is the story.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give him the 5 minutes before it all got corrupted.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how long it was before it got.
Well, did they make a woman out of a man's rib?
Well, that's what I think.
That's why a woman's always poking a fella in that rib.
But the story about that is if he took it from his somewhere up near his head, she'd be too bossy, and if he took it from lower than the rib, she'd be too lowly. That's the story about the rib, is to give her just the right amount of authority and in the man's life. That was why the rib was chosen. I thought that was a great myth.
I don't know.
Might even be true.
But it's interesting that that Adam's made of the earth, right? And then life is breathed into him. But Eve, yeah. Or the woman, comes from the man, from the side of the man. So she's like born alive,
yes.
You know, already. She has this state, you know, as part of her being all already, where Adam has had this existence. Sort of, you know, this separation, which is interesting. But so it's like Adam, Adam is Eve's mother. Adam is Eve's mother. You know.
But have you heard the theory that the Earth is made up of just dead giants and stuff, Russ?
Like the modern evolution theory, like fossil fuels.
No. Like that most of the rocks that we call rocks are actually fossilized remains of beings and animals.
I think I know a little bit. I don't know like a specific name for it, but I think I know kind of the.
Well, you know, the guys like Mud Fossil University and all those sort of guys reckon that the what we call rock and so on is actually fossilized flesh. So if that story is true, then Adam being made from the earth is completely consistent.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think everything's made from the earth. Right? Everything is made from the earth.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's just in a way consistent in itself. I mean, if Eve comes from Adam, I mean, she comes. He's from the earth, so she too, right? But so if the people who were fossilized, whose remains were fossilized or whatever. And those are the rocks we have. When those people were kicking around, what were the rocks of their world? Or were there no rocks?
Well, we don't know that because, you know, in the beginning there was, the earth was without form and void.
Well, they don't say anything about the rocks being fossilized people, or giants, I guess, right? I mean, it's fine to, I don't know where it's, what the basis of the
idea. No, that would be, well, I mean, that would be the flood event. Would be a lot of...
No, but what Russ is saying, Rachel, is that if nothing predated Adam, where did the dust come from to make him?
No, I mean, I just mean like if the rocks we have now are fossilized giants and shit, did the giants who lived have no rocks either? But
they sat on dinosaurs.
Maybe they were dinosaurs. You see that guy who posited that nonsense idea about humanoid dino? You know, hybrid or whatever. We come from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've been waiting for that.
Dinosaur oil.
I can feel another Piltdown Man coming, Russ.
Oh well, this guy is. He doesn't have any, you know, proof for this, of course. But what's it called, dinosaur oid?
Got to throw albino in it. Albinosaurus.
His way of thinking is just a logical consequence of the nonsense it's fed in. If you feed rubbish in, you get rubbish out.
Well, I asked, was there a man-sized dinosaur, or was there, you know, thing, and I literally got back, yeah, giants, and that was off my mate. But that was years ago. Here, he loved dinosaurs.
Take a look at this bad boy. Dale Russell. This is off Wikipedia. 1982, Dale Russell, then curator of vertebrate fossils in the National Museum of Canada in Ottawa, conjectured a possible evolutionary path, Stenocosaurus, if it had not perished in the extinction event. Suggesting that it could have evolved into intelligent beings similar in body, plan to humans. I'll put the link to this in there. Pretty sweet.
And now it's underground.
Like the Nazis.
Yeah.
People really believe this shit, though, you know? They really take this shit seriously. It's,
But those same people will dismiss the Bible as hoax.
I think there's some who believe both, you know? But
do you?
I think there's some who probably believe both. Let's see if I can find, Because then the Catholic Church pushes evolution now, don't they? So,
I suppose that's unsurprising.
I'm sure the Church of England pushes evolution. I think every mainstream institution. Here's a picture of the dinosauroid that I put in, just posted in general.
Well, the Church of England is half Catholic.
The Anglican Church or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
You guys do communion in that? Is that right?
Only water and wine and bread, not trans, you know, it's not seen as anything other than, you know, it isn't...
Transubstantiation.
Yeah, it's not. We never learned about anything about the Catholic faith in school. I mean, I learned more about probably, in senior school, I probably learned more about Islam and Judaism. Or equal parts of that. And even a bit of the Hindu religion, we've learnt a bit about that. We didn't learn anything about Catholicism. It's interesting that, isn't it?
Well, funnily enough, you mentioned Hinduism there. When I was doing that thing a couple of a month ago, I remember I'm a sceptic, so I went into it, I was like, right, well, I was asking a million questions and trying to work out, because you've got a fucking... brief time talking to your super subconscious. You know what I mean? It's weird. But yeah, I worked out why he chose like an elephant god with loads of arms. Because when you high as a kite, or when you're under the go with this DMT, and you're not shitting your pants, or you're, no one's conscience to feeling bad for taking something, you actually you become quite self-aware of, you know, the human body and what you're capable of. And it, you can actually sort of feel like you've got more arms. You know, you're hyper aware if you wanted to, you know, you wanted to take up, if you wanted to, it manifests itself by making you feel like you've got loads of arms, you know, because, you feel more in control, or more of the, what's the word, more of your senses are alive. So, yeah, so that was fun when I worked out. I went, oh, right, yeah, that's where you see the pictures. And the elephant, I suppose, then I'll have a good memory. So.
Ganesh,
that's the one. That's the one with the arms in it and weird things going on. But yeah, all that stuff. And that's all related to, like this supposed, you know, this meditation and reaching states of, you know, being at one, whatever. And it does seem that you can achieve that because everybody's brain stream works the same way. So, yeah. It's not as good as your Bible, Frank. I'm telling you.
What were you saying? You were doing what, though, that led you into that? You said you were tripping acid or something? Is that what you said?
No, it was ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah. So, I knew the DMT bit was coming on, and you sort of, when the DMT, it's good because it lasts for about an hour, and you're in a different world, basically, and you're in your own head. But it's not like being smashed on drugs, so it's a bit hard to explain. But this was my second time on it. So by that time, I just decided to, like, explore the different questions, and a lot of it was to do with gods and different gods and how it's perceived in religion, and even the most of the universe to do with, you know, what the observations are that we make. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it's you don't really get any great answers, but you do, you know, you are able to think a lot clearer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you come out, but like I say, some people go into using it as a method of, you know, curing things like addictions, you know, physical, mental addictions. People have had abuse, people have had, you know, there's lots of different ways of using it. But I don't have any skeletons in my cupboard, so I just used it for trying to further my mind and, you know, that type of thing. But, anyway, getting back to, you know, the images of, the elephant thing there, that's, you do envision stuff in beings, so that's what I went on a waffling there, but I'm back. I don't even know why I went onto the god now with loads of arms, but there you go.
I don't know, I think it's interesting.
He jumped into my mind, I meant to say, but I didn't want it to go anywhere, but, you know.
Yeah, it's with me saying about the religions in the school, but I'd not done,
right, yes.
Yeah, you know.
Chaps, I'm off to the salt mines. Thanks for the chat.
Oh, be careful, mate.
See you, Frank.
Take care.
Yeah, but the imagery always jumps out. Hmm. Especially with them sort of, you know, Indian and Asian religions. That sort of meditation and things like that. So I sort of was trying to look into, you know, into things like that. But the imagery from a lot of religions is weird. You know, that Mahabharata and, you know, the Sikh thing and stories and the manas and flying ships and amazing.
It's kind of, yeah, there's, we live in a, I guess maybe it's postmodernism or something, but the mystery, you know, the mystery has been kind of removed from religious endeavor, you know, and from religious identity. It's kind of had that sucked away from the mystery, what's the other word, like mystical, I guess, you know, those elements, which have great, you know, great explanatory power for us as individuals. That kind of stuff's been kind of totally dissected and from it, and just kind of left with like the institutional body, basically. Or at least in here. I mean, you know, it's like they'll tell you, you know, if you believe you have some kind of like very deep personal relationship with whatever religious figure or, you know, whatever deity or whatever, they,
that you're kind of like, right? But isn't, I mean, it's like it's part and parcel with the freaking system. I mean, so it's like, I guess it's like you're a system that's got this built into it, but they discourage, just deny that aspect of it. So, you know, naturally the consequence is schizophrenia.
Yeah, pretty much. And but it's not schizophrenia, it's just diagnosed as schizophrenia. And then yeah. Eventually it becomes schizophrenia.
Right, but yeah.
That's what triggers
schizophrenia triggers schizophrenia.
Pretty much. He's like, I'm crazy. Oh, I must be crazy. Yeah, you're crazy.
Well, do you think you're crazy? I didn't until now.
Yeah, until I've got the diagnosis.
Yeah, well, it's like we talking about the giants and thinking it might happen, becoming blood and things. But, like, what about the fellas in the Smithsonian, the ones who were being told, you know, right, hide these are dinosaur bones. And they're looking at them and they're going, no, these big men. And that's if there is giants. At best, they might be hiding giants. Still think they're hiding big dinosaur bones. But, no one really gets anything from dinosaurs. We've had a couple of good films, and Jeff Goldblum's done well out of it, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay then.
You know, the museums aren't even lighting them up nowadays, so bad. No, I'm only joking. It's a crazy thing, but, you know, John's bringing his video out, and that'll be out soon. We'll have a good nosy at it then, and we'll put it all to bed. We'll try and find out the follies on the fur. Oh yeah, he's got loads of it. I've been in it for nearly 2 years now.
We don't get anything out of dinosaur space, you know. We don't get anything out of any of it, you know, really.
Yeah.
Oh, and they played the religion and diluted it, like you say, put in churches and spread it around when they're not spiritual journeys their own, you know. So we all come from these dinosaurs. He's like, no, I come from a dinosauroid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I come from space. Why not? You know, yeah. I mean, I guess if the Earth is in space, would you come from? You know, I come from fucking. I come from a you know grizzly. Like, why not? You know, my parents were wolves. What's the difference? Somehow that you know, but that goes back to the religion. Can't make extraordinary claims in it, even though you're, you know, participating in a institution which itself has like completely extraordinary dogma. You know, somehow those people who make up that institution aren't allowed to have any kind of extraordinary claims themselves.
It's like I always say that, man. It's like, of course, God knows all the royal families that speak for him that have got all the money. Yeah, of course he does. He's fine with it, you know. He's like, I don't reckon he does. I don't reckon that's the way to go. I think people speak and feel. You know, the vicar, the church. But you know, you say the system's involved now. Are they getting rid of figureheads, though? This royal, are the royals disappearing? They seem to be being put on a back burner now for the past 30 years. We've had the royal weddings. We've had fake pregnancies. But EGI, you know, things going on with royals, millions of different, hundreds of different conspiracies about them. You know, was this just the way it is? Is that just the way it's going to be from now on? Or is that the way it's always been? You know, people running the place, we've always decried them and called them evil. Because, you know, is there going to be, you've got this big push now, everybody's saying the system's broke. You know, you're talking there about religion's been hijacked. Everything's been hijacked. Is it just going to carry on going the way it is? Is there going to be some sort of new renaissance?
I know from where our standpoint we see that. I don't know about, you know, from other people's standpoint.
But I'm just thinking in terms of, like, the accepting evolution and space, you know, the church. Does that make it all better? No.
I mean, in some ways, you can't fault certain, I mean, or maybe you can. There's something to be said for at least trying to examine the institutions from a perspective of, like, their mandate of, you know, of survival, of existing, you know?
Yeah.
And if all these pressures count against them if we view them as, like, separate entities, you know, that they're not all interconnected. But, like, if the church, for example, I mean, its primary goal, just like anything else, is to survive, really, you know. And it's not to take a stand on every battle, I wouldn't think, you know, especially the ones that it can't win, which is probably most of them. So, you know, it's not really surprising that they would, you know, acquiesce to that kind of stuff.
What was the church's position during World War II? Do you know?
During World War II, they sided with the Nazis, remember? that's their position.
No, but officially.
Oh, I don't know what their official stance was, but they signed the pact with Italy, you know, that allowed, with Mussolini, that allowed the church to exist and not get kicked out of Rome. It's what set up the Vatican City State. I can't remember the name of the agreement. But, you know.
So when they sided with the Nazis at the end of, so the Vatican City only became a state after World War II.
I think it was. I think it might have been right before World War II proper. I have to look, but it might have been in like 1950. In America, like for us, World War II basically, we would say it started in 1941 and ended in 1945. But you know, if you're in Poland, it started earlier than that. And if you're in Germany, you know, it started earlier than that. But I think it might have been like 39 or 40 or 38 that the church sided. Had this agreement worked out with Fascist Italy, but sorry, I can't remember the name of it. I think before that, I'm not really up to snuff on Catholic Church history, but I think before that, the church had some kind of pretty peculiar position where it was like wasn't recognized. It was like in exile maybe from Rome in the period before that.
Right. What? So he was his residency still in Rome?
I don't think so, or maybe it was. Maybe it was.
Find out where they.
I think he had like the apartment or something, and it wasn't the first. They had the Pope. They had the guy, the Pope in exile. The Pope. There was one where he couldn't. Like he was like a prisoner within the
walls and stuff.
Like, yeah, he couldn't leave. Yeah.
So that probably just another character then.
Maybe. Well, he's elected. I mean, he's elected by the cardinals or whatever. So
yeah, with the white smoke.
You'd think someone with the divine mandate would be, you know, beyond the democratic process, but I guess not.
Well, I was going to say, even in the film, the one man who would be king, both sides stop warring to let the holy men pass.
Oh, there you go.
You know, so I would have thought it would have been the same sort of, like, say, mandate there, because they do holiday to this god. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's where it was controlled from. Maybe that was the holiday camp for the people in charge of the war. Maybe they all congregated there and they knew it was safe. I don't know.
Not either, but let's see here.
You driving?
No, I'm not sitting right here, though. I pulled over. Here you go, the Concordant, the Reichskondorit concordant between the Holy See and the German Reich. Signed on July
20th, 1933. July 20th,
1933. Well, this is in Germany, you know that, not Italy.
Well, we've got Matt in. Good evening, Matt.
Do what?
Just saying we've got Matt. Matt's in there. Just saying hello. Matt's our mute. He doesn't speak. He does, but he's dead clever as well. He's also shy.
So are you thinking about becoming a Hindu, Denny?
No, not really. Not really. Just, you know, I like to look into these things. I think they're all funny.
But it's not a bad system if you're born rich.
Yeah. Pretty much that's the way. You can float around, do you want to be an actor. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I just wanted to, you know, you ask yourself loads of questions. I often wondered why the anthropomorphization of different gods in the Hindu and all these religions was, like, weird. And then you look into, like, what meditation does and things and how fractals work, and then you see the animals surrounding you, it's pretty easy to work out. The thing that gets me is about all these ayahuasca people and all that. They all end up being like posh druggies, so they're all trying the new drugs like agave and different tinctures and stuff like that, so everybody still ends up being like a smacker. You know, oh, give a bit of that, let's try some of that. You know, these are, you know. I suppose that's what a vegan party is like, you know, they're all over each other. The toast and things. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what vegans eat. Apart from vegan. Yeah.
It's all,
no,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's all like pursuit of identity, pursuit of meaning from some kind, getting meaning from something external, you know? Like, yeah. It could be any kind of bromide, whatever it was, you know, whether it's veganism or fucking some kind of drug. It's just like,
well,
let me buy it. How much is it? Let me have it, you know, and give me the change.
It's the same as society, isn't it? You've got to get rid of, maybe that's, you know, that's part of it. You've got to get rid of, you've got to get rid of God. So, yeah, people need someone else to replace it.
There's plenty of shit out there to where you're selling.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Rattling in a meter sec.
So you driving home?
Yeah, I was. I just pulled over for a second.
Yeah.
So I was wrong about that. I was totally wrong about that Italian, the
That's all right.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry. I was just reading it real quick to see where I was wrong. I knew it had to do with Mussolini and stuff, but I thought it was during the war, but it was actually in 1929. Lateran Treaty was one of the Lateran Pacts of 1929, or Lateran Accords, agreements made in 1929 between the Kingdom of Italy and the Holy See, settling the Roman question. Named after Lateran Palace, the Italian Parliament ratified it in 1929, recognized the Vatican City as an independent state with the Italian government, at the time led by Benito Mussolini as Prime Minister, agreeing to give the Roman Catholic Church financial compensation for the loss of Papal States. In 1947, the Lateran Treaty was recognized in the Constitution of Italy as regulating relations between the state and the Catholic Church.
So is that so it could stay neutral? You know, like Switzerland?
Swissy. I don't think so. Fucking Swissy. I think it was so that they could... I mean, I was so wrong about this one.
I don't know. No,
risk to hazard a guess. And I felt like it. I knew, but... Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
That sounds like Star Wars, like when he accepted the Jedi. So, yeah. 1947, you say?
1929. It was created and ratified. But in 1947, when Italy became like a democratic state or whatever, instead of the Kingdom of Italy, which it had been before, or under, and then later under Mussolini, then in their the terms of their constitution, it was also included. So, you know, which was in 1947. I guess that legitimized the present.
Hmm. And what you've got any stories under that? Was there any problems? Anyone have any problems against that?
Only some boys. let's see here. The agreements included a political treaty which created the state of the Vatican City and guaranteed full and independent sovereignty to the Holy See. Pope was pledged to perpetual neutrality in international relations and to abstention from mediation in a controversy unless specifically requested by all parties. In the first article of the treaty, Italy reaffirmed the principle established in the March 4, 1848 Statute of the Kingdom of Italy that the Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman religion is the only religion of the state.
I say I had no idea they were the baddies, but they even sided with the baddies.
The Catholic Church?
Well, yeah, I thought it was all cash. And look, I know all sides are involved in this and the other, but I thought they at least would have acted like, you know, they were against the Nazis.
Like, they had the, there's like the Nazi rat lines. I mean, according to the stories, you know, was like the Nazi rat lines, which were like smuggling Nazis out of the doomed Reich through the rat lines established by the Catholic Church.
That's why I assume secret, because the Catholics were goodies, you know what I mean? Even though one knew they were baddies. You know, I didn't realise they were what they were. Well, it's like that joke, isn't it? Sorry, I'm away from the mic here. It's like that joke where they say, you know, the new Pope used to be a Nazi, and it's like, well, fucking, the Catholics are a lot worse than the Nazis, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyway, cheers, Russ. I'm back in a sec, right?
So it says here, the Holy See. I'm sure they find a place to pick up here. The Holy See, on the grounds of the need for clearly manifested independence from any political power in its exercise of spiritual jurisdiction, had refused to accept the settlement offered in 1871, and that was the settlement to
settlement for the preparations for their loss of temporal power, had refused to accept the settlement offered in 1871, and the popes thereafter, until the signing of the Lateran Treaty, considered themselves prisoners in the Vatican, a small, limited area inside Rome. To commemorate the successful conclusion of the negotiations, Mussolini commissioned the Via della Conciliazione, Road of the Conciliation, which would symbolically link the Vatican City to the heart of Rome. There you go.
Player's mode.
The U.S., there's a separation of powers. The government and church are independent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no state. There's no state church in the United States. Unlike the Church of England. I'm sure.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
State Church of England, right? But no. There's no state. Well, I mean, Scientism, I guess, is the state church.
that branches both sides. There you go. That's it now. You don't believe in politics. You've got to believe in DNA, nuclear weapons. Global warming, that's a good one. But the Nazis would have been against global warming because they loved icy places.
They loved that. Cold.
Yeah, they would have been, that would have eventually led to them all having like big airspray haircuts. You know what I mean? Glam rock Nazis. Sweet child of mine. Yeah. No, thanks, Russ. That was interesting. I'm glad you looked up because I would have totally forgotten, but now I've actually gives me another piece in the puzzle there. Yeah, he had no idea they aligned themselves with the baddies and said, yeah, we don't care, fuck it. And then we can sneak people out as well.
There's all kinds of, intrigues. It said it was in 1870, was their other accord. They're having all kinds of problems around that time with the United States. Lincoln assassination, so-called assassination. You had one of the conspirators... flees the United States and ends up becoming a member of like the Swiss Guard or something. Those guys who, Pope's bodyguards, that wear the funny outfits.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Then he comes back. He later comes back and they just let him off the hook. Like, well, no big deal. John Surratt, I think. His mom, Mary Surratt, was hung for her participation in the plot, but. Yeah, I mean, according to the mainstream thing about the Lincoln assassination, there's quite a few conspirators, and there were trials and executions for these people. And
19 people hung.
Could have been, but here you just hear it's like lone nut, like everything else, crazy guy, John Wilkes Booth, actor, crazy guy, Later descendant, our early ancestor, Claire Booth Luce from. Henry Luce's wife, Time Magazine.
She socialite or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm cooking. Back in.
And he was, Booth is from an acting clan. Like
yeah.
They're all freaking, he and his dad is brothers.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that, isn't it? How many people have links?
Generational acting plan. It's funny when you think you have an idea of something, like I did about this, Papal shit, and then I, look into it a minute and, shit, I had a few pieces, right, but man.
Hi, this is Heroes from Tampa, Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.